Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
From the Iraqi cities this week, there they go.
I view our pulling out of the cities as demonstration that to the Iraqi people that we meant what we said.
But in Helmand Province, Afghanistan this week, perhaps it's here we go again.
We've under-resourced it in troops. We've under-resourced it in building Afghan security forces. We have less than a third of the number of security forces, for instance, local, that we have in Iraq. And Afghanistan's a bigger, harder, rougher country.
Question, how many troops does it take to replace a policy in Afghanistan? 4,001. 4,000 Marines to hold the territory, and one commander-in-chief to hold his breath. Gambling on the ground, it's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, July 3rd. I'm John Hockenberry. Hope your holiday weekend is beginning well. We are going to talk about that offensive underway in Afghanistan. Also, the condition of the Air France plane that crashed into the Atlantic a month ago. Sanford and wife, the question of forgiveness and DIY. Fireworks you can make at home. I kid you not. Those stories coming up, but first these headlines. In the headlines, the new U.S. offensive in southern Afghanistan has claimed its first casualty. One Marine was killed and several more were injured since the offensive began yesterday. It's the largest military operation in Afghanistan since the fall of the Taliban government in 2001. We want to pose a question on that Afghan offensive underway as of yesterday. Joining me now is Gordon McKenzie, who served three tours on the ground in Afghanistan and who is now a military analyst in Edinburgh, Scotland. Colonel, in a territory, Helmand Province, which is about the size of Israel, is old desert terrain and is home to more than a million people. How many troops is enough for an operation like this?
Well, commanders are never going to say that they've got enough troops, but certainly, as you say, the Brits have been there with only five battle groups, each of about 500 men trying to hold this massive space. So the 4,000 US Marines coming in now, hopefully they're going to make a difference and break the stalemate.
All right. Well, Gordon McKenzie, stay with us. We're going to talk more about the offensive in just a moment. In other headlines, Vice President Joe Biden will meet with President Jalal Talabani and Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki during his surprise visit to Iraq. The visit comes just a few days after U.S. troops completed their withdrawal from Iraqi cities. A news conference is set today to nail down details surrounding the memorial service in Los Angeles for Michael Jackson. It's scheduled for Tuesday at the Staples Center. In Pakistan, a suspected U.S. missile strike has hit a Taliban training facility operated by Pakistani Taliban leader Batula Masood. Pakistani intelligence officials say at least 10 Taliban militants have been killed. On Wall Street today, it's closed, so investors have time to eat hot dogs and lick their wounds. Yesterday, the Dow went down 2.6% to 8281. The Nasdaq composite fell 2.7%. Wherever you're going to be this 4th of July weekend, did you know that the Crown and the Statue of Liberty opens tomorrow for the first time since 9/11? Up there, you can see Lower Manhattan and New York Harbor. Is that the best view in America? The Statue of Liberty has a face with a view, but what do you think the best view is in America? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org and tell us the best view from your perspective. Is it Crater Lake, Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, Mount Rainier? Let us know.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. Happy 4th of July weekend. It's John Hockenberry. And I just want to remind you of one other bit of news I didn't get to in the last segment. You know, the Venus sisters are playing each other once again, second year in a row, in the finals at Wimbledon. That's getting to be a holiday tradition, both in the UK and here in the United States. So stay tuned. And we're going to have more on sports with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports guy, later on in the program. But we begin in Afghanistan. Day two of an offensive. 650 Afghan troops plus 4,000 U.S. Marines began a major push into the Helmand River Valley in Afghanistan, which is the epicenter of the drug trade there, which also provides funding for the Taliban. And as you heard at the top of the hour, Ronald Newman, who's a retired U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, I'm going to play the tape for you again, sounded pretty critical of the resources deployed here.
We've under-resourced it in troops. We've under-resourced it in building Afghan security forces. We have less than a third of the number of security forces, for instance, local, that we have in Iraq. And Afghanistan's a bigger, harder, rougher country.
The assessment there from Ronald Newman, a retired U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan. And we even spoke yesterday with the spokesperson for the U.S. Marine Corps in the operation at Camp Leatherneck in Helmand Province, who said that they were under-resourced in civilian personnel who are going to actually win the hearts and minds and set up the operation to run things as an alternative to the Taliban if this offensive is successful. So we want to talk about that specifically with Gretchen Peters, who's a former Afghanistan and Pakistan correspondent for ABC News and author of The Seeds of Terror, How Heroin is Bankrolling the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And also Gordon McKenzie, military analyst in Edinburgh, Scotland, remains with us. He had three tours of duty in Afghanistan. Gordon McKenzie, let me pose that to you. You heard Ronald Newman, retired U.S. ambassador, saying that we're under-resourced. Are we repeating mistakes in Afghanistan that were made in Iraq here, do you think?
Well, certainly his assessment of what's happened up until now is pretty much on the button. I think what we're all hoping for is that that is beginning to change. There are more troops coming in, and the assault that's been going on in the last few days is evidence of that. And there has also been talk of a civilian surge, so that's more people who can do the kind of rebuilding work, put the infrastructure back in place, and give people in Afghanistan the kind of benefits which we've kind of been promising them since 2001 but haven't really delivered. So that's all what we're hoping to see coming forward.
Can you give me a sense of what it looks like there? If I was standing there with some binoculars, what would I see? Give me a 360 view, if you could.
Yeah, well, in Helmand Province, it is a huge, big, long, narrow desert area with the Helmand River Valley, which is the key source of fresh water, running right down the middle. And on each side is where the only sort of fertile parts of the country are. That's the only place you can go grow crops, including poppy for heroin. And because of that, that's where the most of the key towns lie down that valley, and that's where most of these operations are happening. And if you were to go into some of the small villages and towns there, well, kind of imagine going into a time machine and going back 1,000 years, the kind of scenes that you would have seen in biblical times, perhaps with the odd car and the odd hi-fi system. That's kind of what you would see in Afghanistan. Many parts of it are still kind of medieval, even though there is a modern influence and some elements of technology there.
Gretchen Peters, so if GPS-equipped U.S. Marines enter these 1,000-year throwback villages, as Gordon McKenzie describes them, are they likely to be persuasive in a sort of hearts and minds sense, or just be, you know, look like aliens from Mars?
Well, what's happening that's very interesting there, there has been a shift in strategy at the top level of the U.S. command. And if you hear the new U.S. commander in Afghanistan, Lieutenant General Stanley McChrystal, talk about it, suddenly he's saying that success is going to be counted not in the number of Taliban killed, but the number of Afghans protected. So, and you hear this from the commanders who are deploying on the ground in Afghanistan, the Marine commanders. There is a shift to try and implement, this is just basic counterinsurgency strategy, to try and fan out these troops in the communities, to push the Taliban and the drug traffickers that they work with out of the communities, and then create the space if you will, for this civilian surge to happen that will allow other types of development and perhaps alternative crops to the poppy trade to be developed.
Well, let's talk about how that civilian surge is going to work with both of you in just a moment. But first, you know, Stanley McChrystal, the commander in Afghanistan, made much last week of changing the rules of engagement of using air power in Afghanistan. And I'm wondering if there's any evidence, you're watching that pretty closely, Gretchen, that the air power is really, understated in this particular offensive to keep civilian casualties down.
Certainly, the air power issue is going to be something everybody is watching. It's quite clear that General McChrystal was brought in after a major, I would say, disaster, public relations disaster, in terms of an air raid that killed quite a large number of civilians also out in southwestern Afghanistan. It's a very, very sensitive topic for the Afghan government and the people of Afghanistan, and I really don't envy all the troops that are deploying out there. That is going to be a long, tough fight. And as much as the people of Helmand, from my research, really loathe the Taliban and want to push them out of their communities, they also have tremendous mistrust for NATO forces, the British and the Americans and others who are fighting in this very, very difficult situation. It is going to be very, very hard to win the hearts and minds. And what's complex for a military commander is that Afghanistan is more difficult to navigate and to move around because the infrastructure is so poor. So if you have a unit that gets pinned down in a tough fight with the Taliban, it's very, very hard to protect them. So the commander is left with the decision, do I allow a number of American troops to get killed, or do I run the risk of killing Afghan civilians? Because the insurgents hide among the civilians.
Right. Well, you're describing a kind of a Black Hawk Down scenario there in Afghanistan. Gordon McKenzie, before we go, do you think it's going to be a hard sell if we have this civilian surge to, number one, get people to find alternatives to poppies and to learn to trust the British and Americans and NATO forces?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a hard sell because we have lost a lot of time over this, partly because we got there in 2001, but it's only really in the last 6 months that a real strategy has developed. And Iraq has been a big distraction from the problem of sorting Afghanistan out. Poppy is always going to be difficult because it's an easy crop to grow, and we're trying to persuade people to take on much more difficult crops like wheat or pomegranates, which require much more maintenance, which go off quickly if you can't get them to market, and which don't necessarily get the same kind of market price. In terms of trust, well, the hope is that once we really start being able to deliver the kind of benefits that people have been promised and that people want, really, in the kind of 21st century life, even in Afghanistan. So the ability to get their kids to school,
sure,
the ability to get power, all that kind of stuff. If
Very
we can deliver big, that will really start to win hearts and minds.
A big challenge, and we will see how that develops. Gordon McKenzie, experienced military analyst who served with British forces in Afghanistan, spoke with us from Edinburgh, Scotland. And Gretchen Peters, former Afghanistan and Pakistan correspondent for ABC and author of Seeds of Terror, all about the influence of heroin and the poppy crop on the Taliban in Afghanistan. We wanted to check in with someone we spoke with earlier this week, aviation security analyst Todd Curtis, who's director of AirSafe.com Foundation and a former air safety engineer for Boeing. Todd Curtis, good morning from Seattle.
Well, thanks for having me.
You said on this program when we talked in a fascinating conversation about how the forensics are put together for determining what happened to Flight 447, which crashed into the Atlantic Ocean about a month ago. Now, you seem to suggest that based on the information you were getting, the plane may have broken up in the air. But yesterday, Air France and the French accident investigation team suggested that, no, it actually belly flopped on the surface of the Atlantic. In the few seconds before we go in this segment, how do you reconcile that?
Well, I actually looked at the what they produced, the official statement they made, and it was somewhat confusing. They did say in there that, yes, it looked as though it belly flopped, but at the same time it said it came into the water at very high speed, which is kind of hard to reconcile because airplanes aren't aerodynamic when they're belly flopping like that.
And at the very least, it points up the difficulty of trying to conduct an investigation and piece together what happened when you don't have the flight recorder and the data recorder. They're still missing at the bottom of the Atlantic. Do you think this accident investigation report is preliminary or maybe settles the matter?
Oh, it's very preliminary. This is an interim report. They have a long way to go. And typically, as is the case with the NTSB, it may be a year or more before we see a final report.
Well, Todd Curtis, thanks for guiding us through that. Todd Curtis, of course, who spoke with us earlier this week, trying to piece together what happened to Flight 447, which crashed into the Atlantic Ocean on a flight from Rio de Janeiro to Paris about a month ago. Todd is an aviation security expert and former air safety engineer for Boeing. Thanks, Todd, and have a good 4th of July.
Well, you too.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.